future crimes. Everything is connected. Everyone is vulnerable, and what we can do about it. Author Mark Goodman. Connected, dependent, and vulnerable. In a few years' time, with little self-reflection, we've sprinted headlong from merely searching Google to relying on it for directions, address books, video, entertainment, voicemail and telephone calls. We've posted our most intimate details on Facebook. We've downloaded billions of apps, and we rely on them to help us accomplish everything from banking and cooking to archiving baby pictures. We connect to the internet via our laptops, mobile phones, and iPads. The more we plug our devices and our lives into the global information grid, whether via mobile phones, social networks, or self-driving cars, the more vulnerable we become to those who know how the underlying technologies work and how to exploit them to their advantage and to the detriment of the common man. The servant becomes the master. Not only are our personal and work computers deeply enmeshed with the internet, but so too are all of the critical infrastructures upon which our modern society depends. The credit card transactions, point-of-sale payment terminals, and ATMs that keep the global flow of commerce humming would come to a halt without the computers to run the network. Computers decide how, where, and when to route electricity to ensure the power's grid stability. Computer-aided dispatch systems keep track of police cars, ambulances, and fire trucks so dispatchers know who's available and closest to respond in case of emergency. In this new world, we've taken the human being out of the loop and have entrusted the backbone of civilization to machines. What might a hacker do with the access to these systems? Hackers have already carried out attacks against critical information infrastructures around the world, like the hacker who attacked a sewage treatment plant in Australia. He gained control of the facility's control systems and caused millions of liters of raw sewage to spill out into local parks and rivers. The attack destroyed significant amounts of local marine life and flora alike, to say nothing of the environmental threat to local residents. You're the product, not the consumer. Ask the average person why Google, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn are free, and he may not know. Take Google as an example, a company founded for the purpose of organizing the world's information through its search engine. One by one, services such as Maps, translation, and word processing services for which we would previously have paid hundreds of dollars, think Microsoft Office, were now suddenly free. The most benevolent interpretation of this bounty would be that Google was merely providing products the public wanted, satisfying our ever-growing technological needs and those of advertisers. A less altruistic explanation might be that these products were created with the specific intent to trick users to reveal an ever-increasing volume of data about themselves and their lives. You're not Google's customer. You're its product. That's why you don't get a bill. Of course, Google isn't alone in its business model of getting you to reveal your personal data and selling them to advertisers. So too are Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and hundreds of other firms. The question, however, isn't who is storing your data, but what are they doing with the information? Mobile me. Smartphones are veritable snitches in our pockets, digital spies tracking our every move. That device in your purse or jeans that you think is a cell phone is in reality a beacon, constantly signaling the world and providing an incessant stream of data about you, your location, your habits and preferences, and your life's activities. So who has access to all these data? Many more people than you realize. Knowing your physical location, where you spend your time and money and with whom, provides greater opportunities to mine you ever more deeply for monetizable information. Data brokers, spies, and criminals too have come to view the cell phone as a rich fountain of intelligence for their targeting purposes. Where are the customers? A key question for advertisers is, where are the customers? Where is determined by a number of techniques, by your phone's GPS antenna, by triangulating your mobile's location and distance between cell phone towers, and even by the Wi-Fi networks you connect to. These locational data are increasingly being appended to your online transactions in so-called file metadata. That is, data that provide data about other information. For example, when people take a photo with their mobile phones, their locational data, GPS coordinates, longitude and latitude, and so on, are embedded in the image file. When you upload those photos and videos to Flickr, YouTube, Facebook, and hundreds of other services, those revealing locational metadata can be passed right along with the original file. For some apps, capturing your locational data is just another way for app makers to sell your data at greater value. Data is the new oil. Across all industries, whether retail, transportation, or pharmaceuticals, there will be tremendous economic value realized as a result of big data. So much so that the WEF recently dubbed data the new oil. And if data is the new oil, the modern currency of a digital world, then those in possession of the greatest amounts will have enormous power and influence. But if data are the new oil, then like other long-established natural resources, they must be safeguarded. We don't leave 100 million barrels of oil unprotected. And yet, for the most part, that's exactly what we do with the vast majority of data created. The protection of our digital information is nowhere near the levels it should be. When you volunteer your data to Facebook, LinkedIn, Google, and others, you need to be aware not only of the numerous privacy ramifications of doing so, but of the criminal implications as well. These firms are routinely hacked, and the data taken are yours. Facebook's own security department has shockingly acknowledged that over 600,000 accounts are compromised every day. That's one account every 140 milliseconds. A blink of an eye is 300 milliseconds. And because 75% of people use the same password for multiple internet sites, and 30% use the same login information for all their online activities, once your Facebook account and password is compromised, it can potentially be used to access your bank, credit card, and email accounts. In addition, third-party companies are increasingly allowing you to use your Facebook logon credentials as your passport to the rest of the digital world. Technology breeds crime. It's not just criminals that are going after the massive data repositories you've created with Google, Yahoo, and Facebook. It's governments, foreign and domestic as well. In January 2010, Google went public with the news of massive attack across its network and blamed the attack on the Chinese government. Google reported that Chinese authorities were going after the Gmail accounts of activists in the United States, Asia, and Europe, who had raised concerns about China's human rights practices. Life in a screened world. We no longer live life through our own innate primary human sensory abilities. Rather, we experience it mediated through screens, virtual walls that sever us from our intrinsic senses and define the world around us. Today, millions of decisions are made every day with faulty, incomplete, or imprecise data, often with no future verification. Those who control the computer code also control our screens and thereby our experiences and our perceptions. Everything from video games to voting machines can be tampered with. A simple example: Facebook studies your web links, images, messages, and likes to customize what you see on your screen every day. As a result, you see only 10% of what's posted by your friends or on the pages you follow. Google too quantifies all of your prior searches, what you've clicked on, the browsers you're using, the time of day, messages received in Gmail, videos watched on YouTube, and your physical location in order to customize your online experience. Google alters in real time the search results it provides you based on what it knows about you. If your query is Egypt, you may receive results on the Arab Spring, while your mom sees in Foon the pyramids or Nile cruises. Screens tell you not what's really out there, but what the government or Facebook thinks you should see. If you searched for something and it wasn't there, how would you know it really was? How would you know that your screens were lying, feeding you false information and misleading you? Lost in space. Increasingly, companies are putting GPS on all vehicles in their commercial fleets. Doing so helps them track employees, manage operations, increase fuel efficiency, and quantify the productivity of employees. To the workers driving these vehicles, the addition of GPS tracking feels as if they were always being watched. In response, they began using simple GPS jammers to help them go off the grid. But these jammers can extend to 500 feet around the vehicles using them. That means that for every one driver who doesn't want to be seen napping by his boss, 50 to 100 cars will also have their GPS signals blocked. But your car or phone's navigation is the latest critical network disruptor by the jammer. Cell phone towers, power grids, air traffic control, and ATMs also depend on GPS-embedded systems to function properly. Of course, there's a more sinister threat to the global navigation system than preventing the signals from reaching your screens: changing them before they get there. GPS spoofers can alter the positional data you receive, allowing those with the means and technical power to broadcast their own fake GPS signals to recreate any route desired on a Google map. Taking control to our own lives. Now is the time to reevaluate all that we can take for granted in this modern technological world. Innovation can't be stopped, but there is a way forward from the rash of technological threats we face today by taking back control of our own devices and using them for their maximum good.